Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
To say I'm excited about today's message would be a significant understatement. So I have a lot to get to today. And I am beyond excited to bring you God's word today and the word that he's planted in my heart. So would you just pray with me right now? Can we just pray and go to the Father? Heavenly Father, God, we come before you now. God, thank you for the power of your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you for already ministering to us in this place today. God, I surrender my mind, my will, my emotions, and I say, have your way, Father. Through the power of your word, Father, will you just impact us? I'm praying that hearts are opening right now so that we're ready to receive your holy word, your transformative word, your word that brings new life and leaves us never the same. And God, that's what I'm praying for right now. That our hearts will be receptive and that we will leave this place different, changed, transformed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And can we just clap for God? Come on. I have a dream that one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. By now, I hope you know these aren't my words. They're somebody else's. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Powerful and impactful words delivered by the Reverend Martin Luther King in 1963 as part of what's been called the Dream Speech. Dr. King, I believe, most certainly had God-given and God-given dreams and driven dreams. What about you? Do you have a dream for your life? Do you have a vision? Another word I'll be using today for your life. What has God planted in you that is calling you to live out in your life? Let me ask you this. When you hear the word dream or vision, what do you think of? Think of something that might happen only when you are asleep. Do you think of a dream as merely a wish? I remember when I was 9 or 10, I dreamed of playing for the Spurs. But looking back on that now, I think that was probably more just a wish. You know, we hear that word dream a lot, don't we? Maybe you're dreaming of becoming rich. Maybe you're dreaming of retiring one day. Those aren't the kind of dreams I want to talk about today. Those aren't the kind of visions I want to talk about today. Today, I want to focus on the dreams and visions that are God-given and not man-made. You see, I'm talking about a dream and a vision that God plants in your heart. And when he does, he shows you possibilities. He shows you opportunities. He shows you things that can happen. You see, throughout the Bible, we see many examples of how God uses dreams and visions to impact the lives of his people. And when we learn, you and I, when we learn to live out those dreams and visions for our lives, it impacts not only our lives, but the lives of others. And our lives are changed and blessed forever. You remember God sent an angel to tell Joseph, hey, it's going to be okay for you to get married to Mary. You remember that? And then after Jesus was born, God sent a dream to Joseph and said, you need to go to Egypt so that you and your family won't be killed. In Isaiah chapter 6, God gave the prophet a vision. And in this vision, Isaiah experienced not only the power of God, but the mercy of God. And that vision changed Isaiah's life forever. He was never the same. The word he used, you know what he said? I am ruined, but ruined in the best way you can imagine. There's power in dreams and visions that we get from God. In just a minute, we're going to look at one of the greatest stories of a dreamer I think you'll find in the Bible. It's an amazing story, and I can't wait to share it with you. Some of you may be familiar with it, but I hope you're going to look at it maybe from a different way. Or some of you, this is going to be a brand new story. It's an awesome story. But before I do that, I want us to look for a minute at why dreams and visions are important to begin with. Why do we need them? Why does God give them to us? And I want to look at two specific scriptures that when you look at them together, I think are very instructive as to what the purpose of dreams and visions are. The first one is this. It's found in Acts 2:17. Now, the context here is the Apostle Peter has himself received the Holy Spirit, and he is now getting ready to preach on the day of Pentecost. Some call it the greatest sermon ever preached. 3,000 people that day would come to know the Lord and give their lives to Christ. And this is what the Apostle Peter said, and he was quoting the prophet Joel, who thousands of years ago had written the very words I'm about to read and that are on your screen. Peter said this, in the last days it shall be. Everybody say shall be. God declares. Say God declares. That means there's no turning, there's no shadow of doubt here. God saying this is going to happen. That I will pour out my spirit on all. Say that. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now look at this next scripture. It's found in Proverbs 29:18. And it says this. Where there is not prophetic what? Vision. The people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. When we look at these two scriptures together, I think there's three very important things that we learn about dreams and visions. The first one is this. Hey, if you're note takers, this is one of those sermons. There's a ton of gold in this stuff. Not because I said it, because God said it. Trust me, this is one of those sermons you want to take some notes on. There is some powerful stuff that you're going to want to be reflecting on for weeks, months. I really believe that. The first one is this. When it comes to things, why God gives us dreams and visions, it is that God is speaking to us through the power of the Holy Spirit so that he should be the source of our dreams and visions. Catch that now. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, should be the source of our dreams and visions. Not the internet, not the greatest book, not let me go to a seminar and learn how to get rich quick, which is where, if we're honest, a lot of people are getting their dreams from. No, the only and best source for our dreams, our God-given and God-driven dreams, are through the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I need to get that. Yeah, y'all can clap for that because that's actually really good. The second thing we learn is that dreams and visions are for everyone. It does not say they're just for... No, God says your sons, your daughters, old men, women, children... God's dreams and visions are for everyone, every person. There's not special class of people that get dreams and visions. We hear about, oh, I had a dream. No, no, no. But I want you to hear they are actually intended for every believer. Every person is entitled, has the opportunity to receive God's dreams and visions. That's what this is saying. And the third thing that we get from the Proverbs scripture is this, that vision from God helps us live out his plans and purposes for our lives. So, in other words, those dreams and visions that we get help keep us focused. They keep us focused so that we don't throw off, like the scripture says, restraint and get distracted. So our dreams and our visions are given to us as kind of a guide, right? And if they're from God, they should be a guide. So they keep us focused. Those three things, very important. Now, let's get to the story of our dreamer. His story is found in Genesis, chapter 37 through 50. Man, almost a third, at least 25% of the entire book of Genesis has this guy's story in it. Very, very interesting that he gets that much page time. I think you're going to find out why, though. A fascinating guy. His name is Joseph. Yeah, that Joseph, the one with the pretty coat. Anybody ever hear of that Joseph? He had this pretty coat. There have been movies made about his life. There was a Broadway play made about his life. Pretty interesting character, right? Pretty interesting guy. Joseph has one of the most fascinating stories I think there is in the Bible, to be honest with you. And his story begins with a dream. His story begins with a dream. So buckle up. Here we go. Now, as a little bit of context, Joseph was the second youngest son of Jacob. Okay, so Joseph's one of the 12 brothers, 12 tribes. He was the second youngest. And let's start with his story in Genesis 37, verses 5 through 8. This is what it says. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Now, let me tell you why they hated him. It says even more. Because in the verses before that, it says that Jacob loved Joseph the most. Just says it straight out. Says he loved him the most. And his other brothers knew that. And it says in the word, in these verses before this, and they hated him for it. So now when we see hated him even more, that's what he's talking about. And he said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to rule over us?" And they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Let me point out a couple things about what we just read. Number one, when you get a dream or a vision from God, you might want to hide it in your heart just for a minute. You might want to seek some counsel, like, hey, you know, what are you with some trusted mentors or maybe people in your small group or somebody that can maybe help you discern a little bit about that dream, because Joseph didn't really do that. And we saw what happened. Consider your audience, is what I might say when it comes to the dreams and visions that God gives you. Get some wisdom. Get some other thoughts. Hey, what do you think this could mean? And be careful about telling people your dreams that you already know hate you. And Joseph already knew this, right? So I don't know. Joseph had a lot of discernment going on with this dream. He knew what it was. He just didn't have a lot of discernment. But the second part of that is, look, at some point, you are going to share your dream with somebody, okay? But just know this, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to support your dreams. Haters going to hate. Happened to Joseph, happened to Martin Luther King, it's going to happen to you and me. Doesn't mean we should be afraid to share our dreams. We should get some wisdom, think through them a little bit. But at some point, when you start saying, this is what I believe God has for me, in the dreams and visions, and there's a process to kind of get there. But just know, not everybody is going to be supportive of that. You know, I'll just give you just a small example. You know, I have a dream. Pastor Karen knows this. Many of you that I've talked to in the past, I have a dream of churches working together to build God's kingdom. That's a dream. That's a vision that I've, yeah, come on. But I remember one time I told another pastor that, and he just looked at me and said, "Well, good luck with that." All right. I mean, you know, now I've learned since kind of who I share that dream with and selectively who that might look like. But haters going to hate sometimes. But you'd be okay with that. Just learn to be okay with that. All right, so let's keep on in the story. So as you saw, Joseph's brothers hated him. So the next part of the story, they hate him so much that they throw him in a pit. They say, we hate you so much, we want to kill you. So they throw him in this pit. But one of the brothers has this other idea. Judah says, man, well, let's not kill him. Let's get something out of this. Let's just go ahead and sell him. Dying doesn't do me any good. Let's sell this guy, get some money. So they end up selling him for 20 shekels of silver. That's what the word says. I guess Jesus is more valuable. He was 30 pieces of silver. Yeah, okay, makes sense. So Jesus was 30, Joseph 20. So Joseph gets sold for 20 shekels of silver to a caravan, a traveling caravan, it says, of Ishmaelites, okay, who are headed to Egypt, okay? So he gets sold to these Ishmaelites. So let's pick up the story now as he arrives in Egypt. This is what it says in Genesis 39, 1 through 4. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his whole house and put him in charge of all that he had. Well, what are a couple things we might learn from this part of Joseph's journey? Number one, I want you to remember this. God is going to send other people to help you with your dreams and with your visions that God's given. He's going to send other people. And you know why? Because God designed all of us to be in relationships. I heard it said once that your life, and I'm going to add today, your dreams and your visions will move at the speed of your relationships. Two relationships. One, primary, your relationship with God. So your dreams and visions are going to move as fast as your relationship with God allows. But it also is going to be impacted by other people that God's going to send to help you with your dreams and visions. He will send. He sent them for Joseph. He will send them for you. He will send them for you. The second part about this, the second thing about this part of the story is that, hey, listen, unexpected things are going to come up. Do you think Joseph was expecting to be thrown in a pit? Do you think Joseph was expecting to be sold into slavery and end up in Potiphar's house? Absolutely not. The original vision that God shared with Joseph was for him to be a ruler over his brothers, right? But now here's Joseph. He finds himself as a slave in the house of Potiphar. And yet, despite that, it says that Joseph was a successful man. Why? Two reasons. One, God was still with him, right? And second, he served where he was. He made a decision. I'm here. I'm going to serve and do the very best I can. While I'm still waiting for my dream to happen, I'm still going to serve well. Come on. Come on. Joseph made that decision. All right, so y'all ready for a plot twist? This is the first one of many in Joseph's story. I got a plot twist for you. It's found in Genesis 39, verses 7 through 9. It says this, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph. So we got kids in here today. I'm going to keep this PG. She said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? One simple point I want to make right here. Don't let sin or distractions derail your dreams. Do not let sin or distractions derail your dreams. Joseph says to Potiphar's wife, in essence, look, I got a good thing going on here, and I ain't going to mess it up. That's basically what he tells me. Man, I'm doing my thing. Your husband's treating me well. I'm in charge of stuff. I ain't going to mess this up. He says to her, in essence, look, I may not have my ultimate dream yet, but I'm going to be faithful taking care of what's in my hands right now. That's exactly what Joseph tells Potiphar's wife. My friends, there are many people in this world who have had their God-given dreams shattered or their visions unfulfilled because they got derailed by sin or distraction. Don't let that happen to you. Don't do it. Remember what Proverbs said. We need our visions. We need our dreams to keep us focused. To keep us focused so that we can not let the restraint be cast off, so that we can stay focused and live out God's word and live out God's plan and live out the dreams and visions that he gives us. Stay focused. Let your God-given dreams and visions keep you focused and motivated when temptation comes. Pastor Karen talked about temptation a couple weeks ago. Remember that you have just like Joseph, remember, you got a good thing going on with God. Michael reminded us last week, one thing about God is he's good. You got a good thing going on with God. Don't let sin get in the way of it. I know that's easier said than done. I'm not up here condemning, preaching you. Hey, I hear you. But I'm just saying, let the dreams and the visions God gives you help keep you focused. Proverbs says that will help you avoid distraction. Yes. And I want to remind us something else that Michael taught us last week. He taught us that following Jesus is worth it. And I'm here today to tell you that your God-given dreams are worth it. Your vision that's been planted in your heart is worth it. It's worth it. God gave Joseph a dream at the age of 17. I don't know if I mentioned that when we first. Joseph was only 17 years old when he received that first vision. God planted that picture in his mind. Now he would, as we're going to see, he's going to learn to process more what that really was about. Back then he thought it was one thing. It's going to end up being about something else. We'll get to that in a minute. But he knew that that dream was worth it. He knew that that vision that God had planted in his heart was worth it, and so he wasn't going to let sin or distraction mess that up. Now, the next thing that happens to Joseph, I'm going to say we've probably all experienced. Has anyone in here ever been falsely accused of something? Anyway, let me say it another way. Has anyone not been falsely accused of something? Because I think it's so common. It happens to all of us. Well, guess what? It's fixing to happen to Joseph in his story. You see, Potiphar's wife, when she didn't get her way, accused Joseph of attacking her. We'll just make it a little nicer word. Well, Potiphar believed her and ended up throwing Joseph in prison for something that he did not do. Now, it's at this point in the story, you might be saying, wait a minute. This guy's been thrown in a pit. He's been sold twice. And now he's sitting in a prison for something he didn't do. Ain't no way God is going to come through on this guy's dream. It's done. His dream is dead. Come on. I mean, Joseph's sitting there. Well, how's he going to get out of this? I mean, amazing. Can I just tell you something real quick and show you something if you've got your Bibles? It's not on your screen. Verse 20 of Genesis 39 says this, but God was still with him. But God was still with him. Not only was he with him, but when he gets to the prison, the word says that he found favor with the warden. He found favor with the head jailer. And the head jailer liked him so much and saw God on him so much that he actually put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. So first Joseph was in charge of all Potiphar's house. Now he goes to prison. Oh, I'm going to put you in charge of all the prisoners. You see, Joseph, if you analyze Joseph's real dream, it was really about leadership. It was really about God said, I'm going to put leadership on you. Now, Joseph didn't fully understand that yet, but he's starting to get it. He's, wait, every place I go, God's with me, and they just keep putting me in these leadership positions. You see, that's really what Joseph's real dream was about. It wasn't so much ruling over his brothers as much as it was God placed a vision of leadership on and in Joseph. I want you to hear this. I don't know what dream or vision God has given you, but you need to know that all the circumstances don't need to be 100% right for him to come through. Did you hear me? I don't know what God's dreams or visions for your life are, but I'm here to tell you everything ain't got to be perfect for God to come through on his promises. Come on. Come on. All right. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Joseph gets out of prison. But how? How does he get out of prison? Well, you know, this whole story started with a dream that Joseph had, right? Well, the key to his getting out of prison actually ends up being his ability to interpret dreams for three people. That's how he's going to get out. So the first two are actual prisoners there in the prison. He interprets their dreams. And ultimately, the third dream that he interprets is Pharaoh. See, Pharaoh had heard about Joseph. Pharaoh kept having this dream and dreaming, and no one in Pharaoh's, all his magicians and all the people, they couldn't understand what was going on. But they said, hey, there's this guy, Joseph, that's sitting over in prison that I've heard knows how to interpret dreams. So Pharaoh calls Joseph, and it's that dream. It's his willingness to help Pharaoh understand that dream that not only leads to his release from prison, but leads to his promotion. In fact, Joseph ends up becoming the second most powerful person in all of Egypt as a result of his ability and his willingness to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Now, I'm going to get back to the rest of the story in just a minute, but I want to point something out here. Hear me on this. While you are pursuing your dreams, help somebody else pursue theirs. Did you hear me? While you're pursuing your dreams, help somebody else achieve their dreams. It's called a sowing and a reaping principle, by the way. You see, Joseph could have just sat in that prison and could have so easily become discouraged and said, oh man, things just aren't going right. Why am I even here? I haven't been treated right. Nobody in here cares about me. In fact, one of the prisoners he, you know, interpreted a dream for ended up sabotaging him, right? And he didn't even go to that part of the story. But he could have fallen into a pity party at the campfire so easily. He could have said, oh my gosh, it's all over. In fact, just so you know, he was in that prison for a minute now, right? Because it says in the word that there was, after he interpreted the dream for the prisoners, it was 2 years more before he went before Pharaoh to interpret his dream. So Joseph went in there just a minute, and he could have become so discouraged that, hey, God, you gave me that vision at 17, and I ain't seeing it happen. You see, Joseph could have taken that posture, couldn't he? Look, I know you may not have had, or you may not right now, have all of your God-given dreams fulfilled yet. But I want you to know, I'm about to get fired up now. I want you to know that every time you serve in our food pantry, you're helping somebody's dream come true. Do you know that? You're helping somebody's vision of having food to eat come true. I want to tell you something else. I don't know if you know this. You're actually fulfilling a dream that Pastor Karen had years ago. Years ago, about a food pantry that whenever we started this church, that was the first thing she said. You know what? We're going to have a food pantry. Of course, I'm right there with her. You're fulfilling her dream, her God-given dream. We don't think about those things, but I want you to know that. Later, when Pastor Karen does the offering talk, she's going to tell you about a person that was at pantry yesterday who had their dream and vision fulfilled. I'm going to save that for her. I'm going to let her tell you that. Look, maybe God has not fulfilled your vision completely for your life yet. But did you know that when you serve in our kids' ministry, that you're making a parent's dream and vision of a place their kids can go to love Jesus a reality? Did you know that? I want you to get that. When you serve on the worship team or the social media team or the greeter team or anywhere in this church, you are part of fulfilling someone else's dream. In fact, I know of at least three churches. There's probably more. At least three churches I'm personally familiar with. Do you know what they call their volunteer team? The Dream Team. That's actually the name of their volunteer organization is the Dream. You see why? That's why. Because, I'm getting fired up, man. Because believe me, there are people out there right now who are dreaming, who are hoping of a place like Pursuit Church. There are people whose dream is to come into a place where they're going to be loved. There are people who are having a vision of finding a place where they can come to know Jesus, where they can have their life changed and transformed. Yes, y'all can clap for that because you're part of making that dream come true. While you're waiting for your dreams, help somebody else achieve theirs. I think that's one of the most powerful parts of Joseph's story, to be honest with you. It gets overlooked. I actually haven't heard that preached very much. But to me, God just brought that to my spirit. Wow. All right, let me get back to the conclusion of Joseph's story. So the dream that he ended up interpreting for Pharaoh had to do with a famine that was coming to the land. That was going to be coming to the land of Egypt. And the Bible says actually all the earth ended up being impacted by this famine. And when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he told Pharaoh, in essence, look, there's going to be 7 years of record grain crops that are getting ready to come. But after that, there's going to be 7 years of famine. That was the interpretation, basically, of the dream. Well, Pharaoh said, okay, what do we do about it? So Joseph proposed a program. How many? No, programs are good sometimes, right? It's okay to have a program. Well, Joseph said, I'm going to propose a program. I think we ought to harvest all this record grain. I think we ought to store it. I think we ought to store it so that when the 7 years of famine comes, we won't all die. That was basically the plan that Joseph proposed. Pharaoh said, I like the plan. Not only do I like the plan, by the way, I'd like you to run it. I mean, Joseph keeps running stuff, man. Woo! Boy's got leadership on him. That's a dream God gave him, leadership. Vision, leadership. Pharaoh saw it. Potiphar saw it. These people are going to see the visions and gifts on your life, too. Trust me. You're going to see that. So Joseph works the plan. And he puts tons and tons and tons of grain away. And then just as Joseph predicted, 7 years later, boom, the famine starts. And like I said, in fact, in Genesis 41, verse 57, it says the whole earth ended up being impacted by this famine. Now, here's the next part of the story. It's found in chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Let me read this. Turn in your Bibles or look on the screen. When Jacob, remember Jacob is Joseph's father, right? He's back with all the other boys, right? Back doing their thing. So when Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you look at one another? I wonder why they were looking at one another when Jacob said that. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he said, behold, I heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die. So sure enough, Jacob sends 10 of Joseph's brothers down to Egypt to buy the grain. Now you can probably guess why they were looking at each other. When Dad said, hey, go over to Egypt and buy some grain, guess what? All 10 of those dudes knew where Joseph was. They knew that he'd been sold to Egypt. Now keep in mind, at this point, the story's fast forwarded 20 years. So it's now been 20 years from the time Joseph was put in the pit to when his brothers are now going to Egypt to buy this grain. Now, granted, they may not even know if Joseph's alive, right? They're like, but, kind of look at each other like, Well, what if we run into Joseph? Which is kind of why they were looking at each other, right? But nevertheless, they go down there. Okay? And when the brothers get down there, they in fact see Joseph and approach Joseph to buy the grain that their dad had told him to buy. But here's the thing. Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. So they're approaching Joseph, just saying, okay, hey, that's the grain guy right there. When they got to Egypt, say, hey, where do we buy grain? That guy right there. So they go up to Joseph. Verse 9 of chapter 42 tells us, it just says, when Joseph saw them, the scripture says he remembered. Remembered what? Remembered that first dream. You know, the ones that his brothers hated him for, threw him in a pit about? That's the dream he remembered. The dream that made him so mad that they literally wanted to kill him. Uh-oh. Trauma time. Trigger time. And guess what? That's exactly what happens. Joseph, from the moment he sees them and they come up to him, Joseph's in attack mode. He says, oh, who are these guys, man? I think they're spies. I think they're actually spies coming to steal grain. He starts making all these accusations, and they're this, they're that, and he just continues to give them a bad time. And I mean a bad time. He's calling them names. He's saying this. And Joseph's in full-blown trigger time attack mode. But God has a way of working on our hearts, doesn't he? Remember, Scripture says God was with Joseph, and he ends up being with him even in the trauma time. Even in the, how many of us need God with us when it's trauma and trigger time? Woo! That's probably when we need God the most, right? And God was still with Joseph even in his trauma, even in his anger, in his initial reaction. And God continues to kind of work on his heart. He works on Joseph's heart, much like he works on our hearts. I believe God began to break his heart. This is what it says in the next part of our story. Well, first of all, it says that not only was his heart broken, it says he began to cry. In fact, his crying was so loud that the whole of Pharaoh's house could hear him. That's how loud. Anyone have that? I mean, you're like screaming, crying, snot. I mean, that's the kind of crying Joseph was doing right now. God was breaking his heart. He was teaching him. He's bringing him back. And then this is what we read in Genesis 45, verses 4 and 5. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother Joseph. So he's finally going to announce to them who he is. Who you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Here is God bringing to fulfillment in a way that Joseph could never imagine at age 17. Now, eventually, Joseph and his brothers have some reconciliation time, and his father Jacob becomes ill and he's getting ready to die. And so I want to kind of now take you to the end of the story and point some things out when we get there. Jacob goes to attend the funeral of his father, and he's there with all his brothers. First he goes and kisses his father, tells him he loves him, but ultimately here's the scene. They have now had the funeral for their father. All the brothers are together. And this is how Joseph sums everything up in Genesis chapter 50, verses 18 through 20. He says this, his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear. For am I in the place of God? You see, Joseph's had 20 plus years of some experience now with God. He's realizing that maybe his dream wasn't so much about him, as it was about what God wanted to do. He's starting to have that realization. As for you, do not fear me, for I'm in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. You see, as a young man, Joseph had a vision, a dream of ruling over his brothers, right? But God had something much bigger and much better in mind. Joseph's original dream was really more self-centered, if we're honest. It was more self-centered. God's position on the dream was more selfless. Joseph's first dream was really about serving himself. God's dream was to save a nation. Yeah. Brandon, if you'll come. Here's the final thing. And in my heart, I really believe this. I believe this is the most important part of Joseph's story for you and I. It's the thing I want you to remember. If you hear nothing else I said today, I want you to hear this. Sometimes you're going to need to let your dreams die so that God's dreams can live. Yeah. That's not always a clapping moment, because dying things cause pain sometimes. Dying things hurt. But God's word says that his plans are so much better than ours. They're so much better than ours. Listen, I know you have a dream of whatever it is, to be this and that. Can I just give you a few things to just think about as you are trying to either get God-given dreams and visions, or maybe you already have some? I'd ask you to think about a few things. Number one, does that dream line up with God's word? If you say, I believe God's given me a dream to do X, can you find that in his word? If you can't, I'm going to tell you it's probably not a God-given dream. That's your first litmus test. Because if someone has a dream just to be the richest person in the world but doesn't understand generosity, that's not God's dream. I'm just being real. The second thing I'd ask you to think about in your God-given dreams and visions is, do they impact other people? Because if they don't, I'm not sure that's a God-given dream. Because you see, we're in community, we're in relationships. You see, your dreams, your visions, much like Martin Luther King, should live past your life. They should live past your life. I believe, I'm just going to move this for a minute. I believe I'm talking to some people today that God's given you a vision for your finances that's far beyond just having your own needs met. I believe there's people that God is giving vision in this house for funding his kingdom here on earth as your first priority. God's word says, put my kingdom first and all those other things, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. I believe there's people in here that have a vision of meeting the right spouse so that you can spend your life building God's kingdom with somebody else by your side. I believe there's people in here that have that. I believe there's people in here and within the sound of my voice that have a vision and a dream to have children that maybe don't yet. But the dream and vision isn't just to have children, it's to raise up kingdom warriors. Come on. God's dream is bigger. It's bigger than just what you think you want. God's dreams, God's plans for you are so much bigger than you. His word says that anything we could hope or imagine, that's what God's dreams for your life are and his vision for you. Listen, would you, you know, I'm part of the story back in Joseph, They actually said, his brother said this in a mocking way when they saw him coming. Hey, here comes the dreamer. They said it because they were mocking him. But can you all stand to your feet for a minute? I want to ask you a question. And I'm not mocking. This is encouraging. Do I have any dreamers in the house today? Come on. Raise your hand. If God has given you a dream, or if you want him to give you a dream, maybe you don't have your God-given dream or vision yet. That's okay. Acts 2 says it's coming because God intends that. And because it's for everybody, can I have everybody just do something right now? Would you all just come right down here in the front of the altar? Come on. I want everybody. God's dreams are for everybody. That means every person in every seat. God has either given you a dream or he's going to give you a vision. And would you just lay hands on the person next to you? Can we just dream for a minute together? Can we just dream together? Can I tell you, I'm dreaming and have a vision for my marriage. The Pastor Karen and I are just so in sync and in love with God that we know how to talk to each other. We know how to love each other. We know how to build his kingdom together. I have a vision for our family that every child that we have, every grandchild that we have now and forever will come to know the Lord. That's part of my vision that God's given me. I have a vision for Pursuit Church. Oh, Lord, I have a vision for hundreds and thousands of people that will be impacted by this church for the glory of God. I may not live to see all of it, but I believe that vision will come. I don't know if I'll be here for the thousands when that day comes. I don't know. But God's planted that vision in my heart. I believe it's going to happen. Right now, as we pray together, I want you to begin to just call out to God. What vision has he already planted in your heart? Ask for clarity, ask for wisdom. Or if you don't have a vision yet, right now, just like on the day of Pentecost, I'm asking you to call out to God to give you a vision. Maybe, again, a vision of finances, a vision of relationships, a vision and a dream that you have about how you want to serve God with all your heart and what that looks like. Let God just, like he did in the book of Acts, let him pour that onto you. So while you're praying, let me just pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. God, we believe that you have dreams. We believe that you have visions for us because you promised it in your word. God, you said that you would pour out your spirit on all men, which means every man, woman, child. God, you don't lie. You are the Father of all truth. And God, we believe you. We believe that you have dreams and visions for our lives. Father, will you just help us to receive that right now? God, will you just show us what that looks like? Show us what it looks like to have a dream of providing for your house. Show us what it looks like to care for others, to love others, to provide for others. Show us what it looks like to help others achieve their dreams while you're helping us to achieve the dreams that you've planted in our hearts and in our minds. God, we love you. Holy Spirit, right now, just like on that day of Pentecost, I pray in the name of Jesus that you descend upon every person in this place. On that day, they left different than when they came in. On that day, 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord. And God, I'm praying right now on this day that something miraculous. We sang it. This is a house of miracles, God, because you are here, because you are pouring out your Holy Spirit. That's why this is a house of miracles, because you make it that way. So God, will you just pour out your Spirit? Will you give us guidance and direction? Will you give us, as you promised, young men visions and old men dreams? God, I could use some more dreams. I ain't that old, God, but I can use all the dreams you want to put in my heart. God, help me be ready to receive them. Help me be ready to live them, and help us all, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we not only say it, but we believe it. Father, right now, just minister, even in this moment. There's people calling out to you right now, asking for dreams and visions. Oh, God, I pray that you plant the picture in their hearts and in their minds of what you have in mind. Give them those promises. Give them, Father, give each person here what that looks like for them, for their life, what you have for them. God, we say it and we believe it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just stay in this moment. Let's just keep talking to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the visions and dreams that you've given us. You're so good, Father. God, you were with Joseph, and we're so grateful that you're with us. Father, I know there's people in here right now whose dreams seem delayed. They might even think they're dead, but you are the God of the resurrection. Father, you can bring dead dreams back to life. God, right now, I'm sensing right now in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's people in here right now that think your dreams are dead, and I am here to declare that they are not. God is still with you. God is still with you. God still has a way have that dream and that vision fulfilled, ways that you don't even know about. He's going to send people into your life. He's going to send finances into your life. He's going to send things into your life that you have no idea where they're coming from. But you're going to use them. You're going to use them all to help fulfill the dream and the vision that God's given you. I believe that with all my heart. I hope you do too. Father, we're a believing church. We're a praying church because that's what Jesus told us to do. Father, your word says without faith, it is impossible to please you. So God, above all else, I hope you know, we believe you. We have faith in you, God. We have faith that you're with us. We have faith that you're finding ways to fulfill the dreams and the visions that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we pray.